medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wapshal, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week is my friend and spotty podcast partner, Paul Houtkooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Chandra. Spotty, I see.
Spotty.
Gotta change it up. Can't do the same thing every week. Nope.
Gotta keep everyone on their toes.
That's okay. So I love how we're using AI. Can we find a different word for? Let's not use a thesaurus anymore. We'll just revert to AI because that works better. It's awesome.
Yeah. Gives me a whole list of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm keyed up for a couple weeks now. So we're good.
Oh, this is great. I'm sure there's certain individuals out there, Clayton Seeley, that are really happy about this.
So what's new, Paul? How's your week been?
Yeah, it's crazy. The good news is we released software. So we did the April drop of release 26 in JD Edwards. So if anybody didn't see that, go out to learnjde.com and check out the announcement for, you know, the details on everything that we put in that release. And timely as it is, given that we have Blueprint 4D right around the corner and we get to show you, probably demo a lot of what we just put out, as well as maybe foreshadow some new stuff coming down the pike. You know, there's a lot of JDE icons out there, and you know, sometimes you have to pay tribute to them. That's all I'll say.
Love it.
And I'll let people interpret that however they may.
So. I'm excited.
Excellent.
Very excited. So,
how's stuff with you? I know we've talked about training, but we haven't gotten into it the last few episodes. We haven't had time. Is your training regimen coming along? Doing well?
Doing well. Little back off week this week, which is nice. Not sure that my body has recovered from last week yet, but oh well. Oh. It'll get there. Have not signed up for a marathon yet. I know that's still on the list, but I did.
So your race planner still sucks. Okay, thank
well,
you.
Well, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to hire AI. It might be quicker. I did actually hire a coach. I decided I wanted to work with a coach. So I have my first call with the coach this evening. So
sweet.
I'm excited to see kind of what happens. So
well, that'll be very, very interesting. Are you going to share with the coach your goal of 50 states? Or are we just going to start with something smaller than that? Or are we going to go just full out with the Big Bang? All right.
Yeah, Big Bang.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to work with that. And then hopefully in there, I know 50 states. And for me, in my current age group, where I'm at in life, maybe I'll put it that way. You know, I'd like to try and get it done in 10 years ish, which amounts to quite a few marathons a year. So need to figure out how to be able to train for and run, not necessarily race, but somewhere in there, I do want to try and race again. You know, where I am trying to shoot for a personal best time. So, yeah,
nice.
We'll see.
Very cool. So forever 29, you want to get this done before you're over the hill. I get it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, with us today, we brought a few folks. You and I were talking about blueprints, the fact that change is also, also always constant. The one constant in life is change. And we thought, we got a couple of new faces coming to Blueprint this year. Not necessarily new. These guys have been around the block. And you've probably seen them at some other conferences, whether it's In Focus, maybe a con, or what was it before, Collaborate. You know, you may have seen these folks, before, but it's been a little bit. So we thought we'd have them on, introduce them, have them introduce themselves, that is.
Yes.
And then talk a little bit about what's happening with them. And like I said, change is a constant. So let's talk about dealing with that. Is that good with you?
That's wonderful. I'm very excited for this.
Sweet. With us today, we have David and CJ. So I'll let you guys introduce yourself, full name, full bio. I'm going to sit back, relax, put myself on mute for about 20 minutes. CJ, why don't you go ahead first?
Hello, JD Connection. My name is CJ Jung. Been with JD Edwards, PeopleSoft Oracle. Actually, this month is my 26th year. Been in a lot of different areas within JD Edwards, Oracle. And we've been with the development organization since 2013, so going on my 13th year. Currently, I'm leading the DevOps organization and just excited to be here. When I got the call to come in, participate in JD Connection, you should have seen my enthusiasm. I couldn't raise my hand quickly enough.
Yeah, I heard him yell out from my office.
Yeah.
That's basically it. I'm more of a back-end person. Enjoy working in the background. So this being up front is kind of unusual, kind of uncomfortable. But I guess today's topics being adapting to change, I guess this is right up that alley.
Yep. Perfect. This is about to change, and this is part of it. Love it. Sad. All right. Mr. Bilthus, David.
Yeah, so I'm Dave Bilthus. Ever since you guys had this podcast, I've been wanting to say this for a while. So I am also a Midwesterner, born in Chicago, went to school in the Midwest, worked in Milwaukee for a few years before I joined JD Edwards in the spring of 99. So I've been here, 27 years now. Started in apps as a developer, and then moved into project management, and then into management about 13 years ago on the tool side, managing the LCM foundation team and then the web runtime team. Looks like I'll be evolving again here in a little while, and working a little bit more with apps again. So I'm looking forward to working with those guys again. I echo what CJ says. This is not my normal thing, and I like to be in the background as well. So I will do my best. Let's go.
Well, we hope we're not too intimidating. It's supposed to be fun.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Fun and entertaining.
Guys.
Yeah.
Quick question for you guys. Does Kentucky consider Midwest?
No. No.
More south.
God, that's more south. You probably say stuff like, is it pop down there or what is it?
Y'all.
Yeah. So you say y'all, and then that's what was the one that Shannon gave us? That's so sweet or something. Or bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
You say stuff like bless your heart, which is passive aggressive way of.
Yeah.
Not just
one of them.
Hey, we welcome everybody.
They do bring the bourbon though, Paul.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but up there in the Midwest, we kind of like the brandy.
Brandy.
It's the brandy Manhattans and the brandy old fashions more than it is the bourbon. But I, for one, have made the transition to bourbon, and my liver thanks me for it. So, but no, we welcome you with open arms, those of you from Kentucky. I mean, we're not.
We like diversity.
Yeah, exactly.
Brings different cultures together.
That's right.
A good thing.
Awesome.
Well, just like now, I mean, we've got you guys, coming on. And as you said, you guys have been here 20 plus years and you've been behind the scenes for, most of that time. And that's been comfortable. Now you're having to deal with, being out there, in front of folks. And I guess we're throwing you in the limelight. So, adversity, you got to deal with it. So.
Awesome. I think she said diversity, not adversity, but
yeah.
Same.
Well,
diverse roles, right?
Paul's listening skills are questionable some days.
That's okay. Come on.
We're used to it.
Wow. All right. Well, did you want to put the spotlight on these guys and start grilling them, Chandra? Because I do that on a daily basis and they hear it enough from me. So I'll just turn it over to you. What questions do you have for these folks since you've got them? You got the leader of Tools Foundation, LCM transitioning to apps. You've got the leader of, DevOps, now, transitioning as well. CJ didn't mention it, but he's going to be transitioning over to Tools LCM Foundation as well. So these guys are mid-transition. You can ask them whatever you want. I mean, I know you got a few SRs on the docket. Oh, I didn't warn them about that. My back.
That's not what it's for, Paul.
Okay.
Goodness. Well, I think one of the first things that I want to talk about, especially if you have been more behind the scenes, I imagine going, you know, I think you've both been obviously present at InFocus, a little bit smaller scale. What are you most excited about for something a little bit larger in terms of Blueprint 4D?
Yeah, you're right. I've attended numerous InFocuses, and I've gone to, I don't know, two or three, or at least two Blueprints as well. And I've always kind of been Clayton's, you know, wingman, if you will, a little bit. I've always kind of followed him around on the system admin side. I've also been exposed more on the digital platform the last year or two. But like I said, now that I'm getting involved in apps again, I'm looking forward to attending more sessions in that area rather than system admin. So I want to kind of attend some of the application SIGs, see what some of the customers are dealing with, some of their challenges, and see what I can do to, you know, to find out what's going on out there, because I haven't been really involved too much on that side. So looking forward to learning about that and seeing what I can do once I get back to try to make things better for everybody.
Well, and you were in apps when you first started. Like you said, you started off in what, CAM?
Yeah, I was a developer in the Swim Cam group for 5 or 6 years, yep.
Swim Cam, not everybody's...
Oh, sorry, it's just... There was a warranty management and capital asset management.
I was like, right. Swim Cam, I haven't heard that one. Yeah. That's one I haven't heard, an acronym. Yeah. Whoa.
And Dave and I was on the manufacturing side at the time. We collaborated quite a bit. Dave was arguably the expert on that side of the house. Now he's going to the humility from the Midwest is going to come in and he's going to deny that. But the reality is he knows apps. It's been a while, but he knows apps very, very well and can walk the walk and talk the talk. So, you know, it won't take him long to get in the groove once he hits the street there in Dallas. So
I hope so. Cool.
Now, CJ, how about you?
Obvious answer will be meeting all the people, attending all that stuff. But to be honest, I'm looking forward to getting some good Texas barbecue. Getting away, Hudson's. There's a small ramen noodle shop in downtown that was called Ichigo. So I'm looking forward to, I mean, most of the Asian people, we're foodies, right? So no matter where we go, we're going to search out the best food places. So I'm looking forward to hitting those spots and at the same time enjoying the great company and, meeting people.
What sessions are you going to be working on and helping out with?
All the sessions Clayton has.
So you're Dave 2.0. Well, we can't say 2.0. Yes, well, yes. Some of us can't, but anyway, you're the new Dave 2.0 within Oracle. But...
Well, so I don't know if you guys knew, when I first started with JD Edwards Oracle, my first team was with Clayton in the GTS group. Oh. So that's where we started off. So we had that. Yeah.
You started off in GATS too?
Yeah. Well, the when I started, it was called GTS off of the support. And then Clayton transitioned into GATS with Daryl and those, Pashkat and those guys. So it was Clayton, Mark Vakic, Michael Jaco.
Wow.
So. Yeah,
that's a pretty elite group to be come. You know, that's a great lineage there, CJ. I'm sorry, but
that's
pretty awesome.
That's how it was started, and it looks like. I mean,
that explains a lot, man.
Does it?
My respect. Okay. I wonder where all my respect for you came from.
Okay, so for those of us that aren't familiar, what were y'all talking about?
Oh, that's right. This is a podcast. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Some of us aren't. Working.
So we're going to go a little inside. We have to go a little inside baseball there. But CJ, why don't you explain it? So,
So we were part of a SWAT team that we got sent out to customers, troubleshoot, fix, amend a lot of things. So for the first 3 years, it was 100% travel. So it put a lot, the whole term, the baptism by fire. Mm-hmm. Was part of this, and you never knew what you were going to get into because it was always different and exciting. My first 2.5 years, I think I was home maybe a month and a half.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't even domestic travel. It was all international travel. So I actually went to Coalesce in Paris. And
oh my gosh, it was great.
Was it 2001, 2002? Spent a month in UK, High Wycombe, our regional office, doing some training and things like that for folks over there. So yeah, it's wow, man, that's taking me back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Clayton is a million miler as a result of, you know, being part of that group because of all the travel. But again, you guys all had street cred, and that's the thing. I mean, when you think about Daryl and you think about, you know, Mark was brilliant too. And, you know, he was in JD Edwards Tools for a while, I believe, and transitioned into Fusion and, you know, had a great career there too, made a lot of impact. But, you know, Clayton and Daryl and yourself, I mean, you guys, you gained a lot of street cred, and then you turn around and you brought it into development, which was hugely beneficial. When you truly understand how customers use the product and what it takes to implement the product and the challenges that they deal with, it gives you, I mean, CG, you can tell me I'm wrong on this if you want, or maybe you'll validate the fact that, you know, then when you interpret, when you read, you know, what comes in, the SRs as they come in and the IARs, bugs, whatever, yeah, that come to your team, you interpret them differently. You see them differently as a result, because you can much better appreciate what the customer is dealing with.
Sometimes you get lost in your day-to-day mm-hmm. activity, especially for those folks when they're looking at bugs and bug after bug, or even support when they get their calls. But when you've been to the customer site and they're actually using your product and they know that they got to get payroll out that day, and you got hundreds of people depending on that paycheck hitting their bank account, you have a different perspective. So
it changes things quite a bit.
Right. And that applies across the board, I think, for people internally too, you know, especially if you're, well, internally customer facing, I guess I would call it, is, you know, having worked for different organizations, I might know how one organization implemented it and used it, but I don't necessarily know how everybody is, right? So I find that, you know, having worked at several, you know, a handful of companies now and seen JD Edwards implemented in various ways at each one of them has given me the ability to, you know, understand the importance of things, obviously, but also to be able to offer suggestions for other ways of doing things. It's great when you can get out there, get that exposure, learn. You learn a ton.
Yes, you do.
So what are you hoping to learn at Blueprint?
I think it goes back to the old days. I want to know how customers utilize the product and how it impacts them, right? It's one thing when you are writing code and getting the product out the door, but how is that really getting utilized? What's the return? So I'm hoping to meet as many people as I can and learn how they're using our product. And in that sense, you also got to learn what's not working for them so that we can make an improvement on top of that. So I'm hoping to gain that experience.
How about you, Dev?
Yeah, same kind of thing. Before I joined JD Edwards, I worked at an IT department, so my users were just up, a couple floors up. So I could always just go upstairs and see how they're using it. Ever since I joined JD Edwards, I don't have that FaceTime. You know, it's much more difficult. So you got to really take advantage of these conferences to be able to get that experience and understand how they're using it. And like I said before, I'm going to really try to focus on the application side a lot more than I have been in the past. And then obviously, the big buzz is AI. And I'm really interested to see what people have done so far, what they want to do in the future. So I'm going to try to catch as much of that as I can as well, as my schedule allows. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we like to say learning from shared experience, and these conferences kind of provide a hotbed for that, so to speak, right? You know, you can go pop around, you've got your ideas, you've got your own. I mean, we're using AI internally, right, within Oracle, and we won't go into too many details about that, but it'll be interesting to go understand customer experiences and what problems are they solving. And what does that mean for us, you know, for our product? You both, you know, speak to again, gaining a better understanding of how customers are using the products and the challenges that they have. It's just one of the challenges that we always have. And I think probably every, you know, software development company has when, you know, we have to go build the products, right? We gather the requirements and, you know, then we decompose them into, you know, designs and build out the actual product, test the product, ship the product. That's what we do. But we do that behind closed doors a lot of the time, and you don't get to see people actually using the product. And when you do, you get that validation. That's the piece that's always missing, is that, what do you want to say? I mean, it's just out of appreciation, so to speak, from seeing somebody use your product and then of course learning from that, right? So it's hard to recreate that, right? It's hard to create that internally. It really requires that you get face to face with a customer and either talk to them, or even better yet, you're on site and you get to see what they're doing.
That's got to be a challenge, you know, from a software development standpoint. I think about often, you know, having worked at multiple, you know, just different kinds of companies over my career. Every company, a software, whether it's JD Edwards or something else, a little bit differently. So getting the design requirements has to be a challenge, because you can't possibly go pull, you know, here's my 5,000 customers using this product, and let me find out how they're using MRP. Let me find out how they're using Configurator. You're going to get 10,000 answers.
Arguably even more than that, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's a challenge with building a product that has so much flexibility as well. You know, if you want to simplify it, then you lock everybody into a specific way of doing it. And that's why we call certain products out there that compete with us and end in P, liquid cement, because they basically dictate back to you how you're supposed to run your processes versus providing you a product that can be tailored to the processes that you have. But providing that flexibility also brings complexity, and we're not going to get into like the Marvel with great, you know, responsibility
comes great
whatever it is, yeah, with great power
comes great responsibility,
right? Yeah, that's our lives, right? That's the way. You know, you guys are both shifting gears now, right? So, you know, one of the other topics that we wanted to cover, well, and you've already talked about some of the changes that you went through, right? Starting, you know, you started in GTS and you get into, you know, development, you know, 13 years ago, CJ, and, you know, that was a change. And your roles within dev of, you know, within that, you know, within product development, we'll call it the organization product development, but have changed over the years. And Dave, you too, I mean, your roles and responsibilities have evolved. But, you know, one of the things we wanted to get into is how do you guys deal with that, right? I mean, especially today, Dave, you mentioned AI. I mean, how we do development is changing on a weekly basis, a daily basis, who knows? What are maybe some of your thoughts for how you deal with that change?
Well, for me, especially since I moved into management, my number one focus has always been my team, is how I want to make sure that they understand why the change is happening. I want to make sure that they understand, you know, what their role is and how this could impact them. And, you know, so for example, you know, I'm moving from one group to another group. So I want to make sure the group I'm leaving understands what's happening and why, and make sure they're in a good place, which is why, you know, CJ and I work so closely together. But then the group that I'm going to, I want to make sure that they understand why I'm getting involved as well, right? So to me, it's really just about the people, not so much about my own, how I react to it. I just worry about how my team is going to react to it and how I can make sure that the communication and the collaboration is there. And, you know, not everybody's going to be happy about it. And you got to accept that, and you got to deal with that and help them get through it. But that's really always been my focus, is the team. I don't know if that's what you were looking for there, but.
Oh, yeah. There's no preconceived. nothing. Yeah. Nothing like that. No. So.
I think that's important, because change is really hard for employees too, right? You know, they've grown accustomed to a management style, and somebody else is coming in. There's unease. There's, you know, now I have to prove myself? You know, there's a lot of discomfort that can come from kind of shifting around, there's a lot of good things that can come from that too, because you learn different things both as a leader and as an employee. You learn different styles. You know, everybody brings something new to the table. So I do applaud you for being concerned about those employees and helping them to navigate it as well.
Yeah, especially knowing, you know, who you're handing your team off to. But anyway, speaking of which, hi, CJ. How are you?
Wow.
Oh, geez. Hey, sink or swim, sink or swim.
Yeah.
I think the change fatigue is real, right? 2026, AI. Just 5-6 years ago, we went through COVID. You know, it's constant stream of changes. And so that fatigue is real. But from past experience, is how fast you could adapt to that. So adaptability really helps transition over. Because whenever we face change, we go through that transition curve of the denial, the resentment. But ultimately, you have to come to an acceptance. That's going to help you move forward. So in part of what Dave was talking about as a management, can you break those chains down into a simple chunks that is digestible for your team?
Yeah.
That will help them. And also, a lot of the stuff comes down to simplicity, power of simplicity. When you have changes coming along, get into a routine that you're comfortable with. Like during COVID, I had my morning routine of, changing from my bedroom to my basement as my office. But in between, I have to go through this coffee routine. I finally learned how to make pour over. Now my wife won't let me, go without making her pour over. So
I love it.
But yeah, I think it's great that we want to help everybody. But just something for Dave and myself is that, one, I'm going to focus on myself, make sure that I am going to be comfortable, because if I am not in a stable mind, I'm not going to be able to help my team. I'm not going to be able to help anybody else. Once I have that, I want to make sure that I provide that network or support group for those around you. Make sure that they have a place to bounce off ideas and talk if they're struggling. But breaking everything down into a simple chunk that you can digest, you could deal with. As a manager, looking at your team, help them to be able to transition, adapt that quickly as possible. Otherwise, we're going to be struggling forever. So,
and I think it's important that you have to acknowledge that it's not always positive, right? I mean, the reason for the change hopefully is a positive reason, but there's almost always a negative that, and you don't want to brush over that. You want to allow the team to accept that and talk about it and acknowledge that and make sure you listen to them. Sure. And to your point, CJ, you got to listen to yourself too, right? I keep talking about the other team that, and I've talked to Paul about this. I need to start thinking more about myself too. But that's important too. It's not just always positive. Don't just gloss over the negative. Give it the time it needs so that people can accept it and understand it.
Otherwise, it sneaks up on you later. But I mean, Chandra, yeah. I've known you for a little bit, and you tend to put others in front of yourself as well. So just to put you on the spot, I'm sure you can empathize with Dave a little bit here.
I can, absolutely. I do want to make sure that people are in a good spot. And sometimes I am not very good about maybe sitting with that discomfort myself, right? I'm more concerned about making sure everybody else around me is okay. So I definitely can feel what Dave is, where I'm like, oh, I must make sure, that everybody's good with this, that we can get through this together. And then later, I kind of like, it might be a delayed response kind of, right? I think I'm so focused on everybody else that I forget myself to step back and say, hey, how do I feel about this? And what will it take for me to get okay? Or to be more comfortable with said change. So,
and giving yourself the space to process, right? So while you've created this space, all three of you talked about this, you're creating this space for your team to process. And then it's very easy to forget to give yourself that same space, because who's looking out for you? Well, let's not go there, but We'll leave that one alone. But the point is, hey, guess what? You definitely owe it to yourself to give yourself that space. And sometimes because that comes secondary to you, you do miss it, right? Yeah. And it does bubble up then later. And, you know, whether it's overreacting to another situation or whatnot, and you realize that, hey, wait a second, maybe I need to pause, you know, cause for pause here and reflect a little bit and make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to process through this. Because you have to be in that, you know, you have to be in a comfortable position. I love how you put that, CJ, because if you're not, it's really hard to project that to the team and be there for your team as well. So,
and that's visible. Mm-hmm. People, you think you're hiding it, but people could see it. And when you are weak and you need to be strong, but you're weak.
Yeah.
You know, there's a negative effect on it.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like they say, you know, when you're in the airplane, you have to put your mask on first before assisting exactly. others. Right.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention to yourself. And I think sometimes I need to hang that sticker around. Like, put your own mask on first.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, unfortunately, this is, you know, time flies when you're having fun, and we're nearing the end of our time today, and we never end a session without talking about a Midwesternism, and I'm going to remind us to say thank you to our guests before we go there, because we tend to get rolling on these things, and then we terminate the broadcast without saying thank you. So before we get in our Midwesternism, you know, thank you, Dave and CJ, for being willing to come on and introduce yourselves, talk to us about, you know, what you're excited to learn and experience and eat at Blueprint 4D, you know, and Dallas.
I need to follow CJ around.
Exactly. And don't forget, there's a Mexican place very just a couple blocks from the Anatoly that is absolutely top notch. Running back Emmett Smith, I saw him there the last time I was there. So if you guys, you know, put that on your list too, you foodies out there. I just forget the name of it, but
we'll see if we can look it up and talk about it next week.
That's right. So in the meantime,
to you, if you stay with me, you'll never go hungry.
Love
there
it.
There we go. That's awesome. So what is our Midwesternism, since we have at least one person from the Midwest, even though he's a Bears fan? So we got the Bears, Vikings, Packers represented here.
Oh, boy, this is a dangerous area.
I'm surprised this went as well as it did. But anyway, so what is our Midwesternism?
Speaking of food, actually, and I know you mentioned that you need to travel to Minnesota. You mentioned to me off the, outside of the podcast that you needed to travel to Minnesota. It cued my memory that I never finished talking about some of the Minnesota cultural experiences from my trip in February. And this, I just got to plant the seed for you since you're going to Minnesota. I'm not saying you'll be able to do this particular event or destination, but we've talked about supper clubs before.
Yeah.
And I went to a new-to-me supper club. It's not new to Minnesota by any means. It's new to me, though. I hadn't been there. It's one that my dad has been meets, actually, my aunt and uncle at semi-regularly. But it's called Wiederholtz Supper Club. And so when I looked up the address, it says it's in Hastings, which is a medium-sized town in
Hastings
Minnesota.
Is in Kansas, isn't it? Sorry.
No. But it's actually in a very small town called Meesville, which is population 138. Yes, they have a supper club in this town, legitimately.
And 38 of them work at the supper club, and the other 100 come to the supper club every weekend.
All right, exactly. Well, this place was amazing. First of all, it's a fourth generation of family ownership it's like I said, it's been around. It started actually as a grocery store tavern and filling station, and then kind of transitioned into a supper club. And let me tell you, the decor was 100% Midwest supper club. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. it was dark. It's like the dark inside supper club, cozy feeling, but still stuck in 1970. I don't know. There were still like retro style vinyl tablecloths on some of the tables. Yeah, it was amazing. And the food, well, it was good. It was really good. Really good. I had prime rib, of course, because what else do you order at a supper club? Because, you know, I love horseradish sauce. Prime rib is just a horseradish sauce delivery device for me. Also comes with a salad, which was, of course, iceberg lettuce with some carrots. And I think there were bread, whatever you call those things. But
croutons?
Bread. Yes, those things. I never get them because I'm... don't eat gluten, so that doesn't work for me. And of course, you get to choose dressing. Fortunately, they had a balsamic, but I'm sure they had your standard, you know, French and ranch and whatever, Thousand Island, yeah. And they actually have a homemade one too. So, and then I went for a baked sweet potato because I'm like, oh, you offer a baked sweet potato? I love sweet potatoes, and you know, it's served with butter and of course brown sugar. Because a sweet potato isn't sweet enough on its own. I don't know.
That sounds amazing.
It was actually very amazing. It was really neat. The decor was amazing. I really enjoyed it. I would go back again. You know, it's probably a 45-minute drive from like my dad's house, you know, Minneapolis St. Paul Airport, and then drove down that way. So
nice.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So Dave, being from the Midwest, supper clubs, I mean, you're familiar? You frequent them?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I remember the fish fries in Milwaukee. Is that the same kind of concept? Yep. Okay.
No, not at all.
No, okay.
But we are going to talk about that next week, so stay tuned. We're talking about a fish fry.
Yeah, fish fries are a slightly different venue. When you think about a supper club, I think Midwest mob, to be honest with you. You walk into these things and you got the dark ruby, like vinyl seating with, you know, the wallpaper and, you know, dimmed lighting. And you just expect to see people smoking cigars in the corner and the mob bosses all hanging around a table. And it hasn't changed since 1965 or whatever, or 70
or somewhere there. Yeah,
that sounds like my kind of place. I'll look it up.
Oh yeah, and then they serve things like Chandra said, prime rib is just perfect.
Oh yeah,
spot on. They'll give you your brandy Manhattan on top of it, and they are amazing. Steaks, they get a great menu, and the food, is, you know, top notch. It's really, really good.
Sounds great. So.
Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya!
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.